1. Some deathbed confessions are expected, others surprising, but this one, well, this one was a real doozy. It was Andrew Kane's third heart attack, and he wasn't going to come back this time. Too much damage had been done to the anterior wall to hope for a recovery. He knew it, and so did his daughter, Cordy, who sat by his side in the critical care unit and prayed for a miracle. Her father was hooked to a plethora of machines by a series of tubes and IVs. The constant beat from the heart monitor was a comfort to Cordy because it assured her that, even though his eyes were closed and his breathing was shallow, he was still alive. She wouldn't leave him, not even for a minute, fearing he would take his last breath alone in the cold, sterile environment while machines sounded his passing with wailing alarms. Cordy's life had come to a screeching halt at 11 o'clock Friday night when she got the news. She had just arrived home from a charity event at St. Matthew's High School for Boys, and she was exhausted. Her day had started at 6:15 in the morning when she left her brownstone to go to work. After teaching 3 chemistry classes and 2 biology classes, she graded papers during study period, supervised 2 lab experiments, broke up a fight, and filled in for a math teacher who was home with stomach flu. Then, once the students had been dismissed for the day, she, along with most of the other underpaid teachers, helped transform the gymnasium into a Monte Carlo atmosphere for the annual charity auction. The remainder of the evening was spent serving soft drinks and smiling at donors until her face felt frozen. She had been teaching at St. Matthew's for 3 years while she finished her PhD. The school was located on the edge of Chicago's South Side, a rough area of the city to be sure, but thus far she hadn't had any real trouble. A 10-foot-high wrought iron fence that had been there since the school was built surrounded the property and the parking area, and she had to drive only 2 blocks from the highway exit to get to it. There was always a guard at the gate. An anonymous benefactor had made a substantial contribution to the school, with the condition that there would be a guard on duty at all times. And ever since the principal had hired the highly recommended security firm, the number of slashed tires and smashed windshields had plummeted. Although her father wouldn't admit it, Cordy suspected he was the benefactor. When she started working at the school, he became a staunch supporter. He even took over the auto shop classes when the regular instructor quit in the middle of the semester. The boys could be difficult. Most of them were high risk, but her father didn't have any problem controlling them. He'd grown up in New Jersey, and even now, after all these years living in Chicago, still had a bit of a Jersey accent and a tough guy facade. He treated the boys with respect, and they responded in kind. His gruff, no-nonsense attitude and his enthusiasm won them over. The fact that he had built a national chain of auto repair shops from the ground up didn't hurt. In the eyes of his otherwise cynical students, it gave him credibility. While he was teaching the class, attendance was 100%. She knew it couldn't have been easy for him raising her alone. It had always been just the two of them. There weren't any relatives on either side of the family. Her mother had died when Cordy was a baby, so of course she didn't have any memories of her. Her father told her she looked like her mother, but he never shared any stories about her. Cordy believed it was too painful for him to talk about losing the love of his life. She wasn't ready to lose him. He was her dad. He had always been indestructible. Until his first heart attack 6 months ago, he had never been sick, never missed a day of work. Cordy depended on him for strength when times were difficult, and he was always there for her. Always. When she had first entered the ICU room, the shock nearly undid her. A priest was standing over him, administering the last rites. She barely recognized her father, and she stood there paralyzed with fear. He was a big man, almost 6 feet, with a muscular frame, but he looked so much smaller in the hospital bed, so weak and vulnerable. Now, sitting next to him, she was overwhelmed with the need to help him. Tears streamed down her cheeks, and she impatiently wiped them away. It took several minutes for her to gain control of her emotions. If he opened his eyes, she didn't want him to see her crying. A senior cardiology resident came in to check on her father and assured her that he was resting comfortably. He couldn't tell her how long it would be before his heart stopped beating.
"The heart is an amazing organ," he told her.
"Then he could get better," she whispered, clinging to the possibility. Snatching her hope away, he shook his head.
"No," he said.
"Dr. Platt explained the severity."